how often have you been asked to referee for somebody applying for a job? And what do you do when you get asked, particularly if you're a little bit lukewarm on that person? What's your responsibility to the friend in question? What's your responsibility to the organisation calling you? And let's be honest, it's that time of the year. Lots of people are looking for new jobs, having a bit of a sea change about their lives, want to change careers. And so what do you do? The phone is ringing. How do you respond? Well, we are joined by Natasha Hawker from the HR firm Employee Matters. Thanks for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you for having me, Mark. It's great to be here.
I understand you've just joined us from Luna Park.
I have. Left the kids and the husband there.
I was going to say, when you just said left the kids, I'm like, really?
No, I'm not that bad a mother.
Okay, so when I get a phone call from somebody, a prospective employer, and I've been put down as referee, so presumably somebody's asked me to be that referee, What is my responsibility in that moment, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think your responsibility is first and foremost to tell the truth. And I think many employers sometimes feel put upon, and they often have that awkward situation where the employee wasn't that good. So what do they do? And there are a couple of points here. First of all, you don't have to give a reference. And some companies actually don't allow you to do that. They will say you can say that Mark worked as an announcer and he's spent 5 years doing that, but they won't allow you to comment on your performance. Or you could just say, look, I'm sorry, I don't want to give a reference. Now, the savvy employer will follow that question up with, is that because your company's not allowing you to do that? And if they do, you would just say, no, that's not the reason. And that information is going to give a lot more, that wording is going to give a lot more information. So it's really important to be honest. And I write about that in my book, From Hire to Fire and Everything in Between.
See, I've been in that position where I've gotten the call from somebody that... So let me paint the picture right without giving away names.
No names.
Okay, so somebody's put me down as their referee and I worked with this person and I did not think that person was very good.
Yep.
And therefore I wanted to encourage that person to find another job.
Yes.
Does that put me in a completely messy moral quandary?
It does. But look, I think it's all about being honest. So I would always, when someone's leaving, if they ask you to be a referee and you don't feel you can do that in all good judgment, then let them know that.
But I still want to be friends with them though,
yes,
Natasha.
But also when they do get, you get that call and they say, can you be a referee? You might say, look, George's time management was not the best, but client facing, the clients absolutely love him. So if your role is very client facing, make sure you put him in a role like that because he'd be brilliant. So just be honest. And in a reference, if it's all glowing, then they're always going to think that's a bit dodgy too. One of the best questions is, what is Mark's greatest weakness?
Yeah.
Because we've all got one. So, you know,
talking over Fleetwood Mac. That's why. That's my
It's holiday madness.
Oh, there'll be angry people. Don't talk over Fleetwood Mac. And they'd be right to say so as well. What about when you're in a position where you, as a person who's on the employer side, right, where you're making those phone calls and you're talking to referees, what are the terms and ideas and intonation that you're looking out for that maybe that person's gilding the lily or want to say something that they can't really say? What are you listening out for?
Yeah, I think I'm listening out for detail and let your gut lead you. When someone rings up me up for a reference, I would hope that the employee or the candidate had given me a heads up. So if I am a referee for someone, I'm hoping that you, Mark, would ring me up and say, hey, Natasha, I've got this new job as a radio announcer. Here's the things I think they're going to be looking for. Would love for you to give that information. If they stall as they're answering, then that's generally a clue. Or if the answer's very short and sharp, that's another clue that they're not very forthcoming about information about that individual.
How can you tell when the person who... So, again, just to replay the idea, you're the person looking... You're the person who's hiring.
Yep.
And you've called a referee of a third party. How can you tell if they're just being too nice?
Yeah, generally they're too well prepared. I think that the answers are too well prepared. One of the things I'd love to share with you is, I think where you're going with this too, is most people feel that they're ringing their friend.
Yeah.
They're not really ringing a true reference. And the best tip for you to get around this is when you're interviewing them, say, in that role, who did you report to and what was their job title? And if you get to the bottom of the CV and those names and titles aren't linking up, then there's obviously some disparity there. So you've already got the clue that something's not right. Don't ring mobile numbers. So if you're ringing for a reference, you want to be ringing the company so that you know, I would like to speak to Natasha Hawker. She's the Managing Director of Employee Matters. Can you put me through, please? Rather than ringing this obscure mobile number who you don't know who you're calling at all.
That's interesting. No mobile numbers.
Yeah, and LinkedIn is a great technique of checking up on people. So also ring up the receptionist and say, who is your head of finance? And if the names don't link up again... Again, this is a bit of detective work, but your employees are your greatest asset. They're also your greatest liability. So most employers, and it's statistically, it's quite frightening, something like 50% of employers don't do reference checks. And this is a data point in the interview process. You've got to do these checks to let these people into your business.
If I'm the person that's on the hunt for a new job, I'm applying for a bunch of new jobs, what are the sort of criteria I should be applying to picking a referee? So Pete, the people that can speak on my behalf.
Yeah. They should have legitimate experience and understanding of you and your performance. They should be the people you reported into. But that's not always possible.
I was going to say, if you're leaving a job.
Yeah. And it can sometimes be the case where, yes, that you did report into that person, but they've now moved on to another organisation. And that's legitimate. And you can let the referee know, look, I did report into George at this organisation, but he's moved on. He's here now. And you can check that via LinkedIn. So it's really important. That person needs to be prepared to do it. And I think around etiquette, around asking a referee, make sure you keep your references updated. Make sure you give them a call and give them some information about the role. But ring them up afterwards and thank them for their time. A good reference check can take up to 40 minutes of their time.
Yeah.
And these are busy people, so be respectful of that. And then maybe even send them a bunch of flowers afterwards, because watch how quickly they'll do your reference next time. They're important to your job career and progression.
Is the way we do references now... Does it work? Should we be looking at a better way of endorsing or disendorsing people moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's evolved over time. You know, 20 years ago, it was the only check we had. I would suggest there are a couple of other things. One is LinkedIn, getting recommendations on LinkedIn as you go. From
those little things at the bottom,
yes,
where like, Natasha's really good at talking on the radio.
Hopefully. But, you know, it's not only peers, it's people. 360 is really important these days. It's not only people that you report to, it's your clients that talk about you and so on. The other thing to think about is doing background checks. So making sure that they have worked where they said they worked. They have a right to work in Australia. They have a credit check. They haven't got any history where they've taken money from their clients. You know, it happens a lot.
At the baseline level.
Look, 10% of employers have had employees steal from them. And if they'd done a reference check, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
10%?
10%. And they're 10% of my clients, so I know it.
Wait, so like when we say stealing, like, if I stole a stapler, does that count?
No,
in the 10%?
I'm talking about payroll and scamming money off payroll and putting it in other bank accounts. We had one client who had it up to $180,000, and she was actually a friend.
Oh no!
And she scammed $180,000 off this employer, so they're not friends anymore.
Right. At the very least, you'd hope that you'd want to get a decent Christmas present out of that.
Yeah, it's a worry. So do your reference checks and do your background checks. It's worth it. Costs you a couple of $100 and it will save you a lot of grief.
And in terms of like, because now increasingly we live our lives online, and there has been a lot of stories in the last sort of 5 to 10 years about employers checking up on people's social media footprint. How relevant, and there was a lot of moral panic about that, which I do understand when it was first sort of being broached as an idea, but realistically now, how much does, and I know this varies from industry to industry, but how much does the social media footprint of a potential employee matter in this day and age?
It matters a great deal. And I'm always saying to younger people when I'm mentoring them, just think about what you post, because you can't take those photos down. They're there. Even when you think you've deleted them, you haven't. We had a specific example where we had a client who interviewed a guy. He left the office. The girl's Facebook stalked him. They found he had had a whole lot of inappropriate conversations about female genitalia, and the job was rescinded. And he lost it. And he was mortified because he didn't realise his posts were public, but he couldn't take that back. And the client he was going to be working for, the client could not risk him working for that and that client finding out. So be very careful. Make the comments that you make. Think about it as if your employer was looking at it in 10, 15 years' time, would you still be happy for that post to be up there? Because even though it's not a determinant of their success in a job, the reality is the law hasn't caught up yet and people are doing it. So if you think people are just reference checking you and not checking your social media account, you're wrong.
People now have had Facebook accounts for upwards of 10, 12 years. So people that would have been teenagers when they signed up are now in their 30s. Mm. And so the question I'm curious about here is, should we be applying a half-life? Should we be applying a statute of limitations for how deep we look back into somebody's social media and how we judge them in their 30s? Should we be judging them on what they did when they were 17?
I think you need to use common sense. You know, is it relevant
that
to their
teenagers
job?
Teenagers are well known for.
Yeah, teenagers are going to behave like teenagers. But if there are things that you're seeing, behaviour that you're seeing that is going to be incongruent with your culture or with the way that you want your clients to perceive you, then that might be something you want to take into account. But if it's normal, teenage behaviour and it's not going to impact the way they do their job, then you've got to probably put that statute of limitations on it.
Okay. We are talking to Natasha Natasha Hawker from HR firm Employee Matters. You know what? I haven't messed up a single thing until you came along now. She's from the HR department. Be nice.
It's the police.
Yeah. Natasha Hawker from the HR firm Employee Matters. And the way we got into this conversation is about referees. If you are made a referee or you're approaching somebody to be a referee, what are the responsibilities attached to that? And I'm curious about what's the most awkward experience you've had on the phone to a referee?
I've got a good example of this. I was in a situation where I had to terminate someone's job or because of behaviour at a Christmas party. It's good timing for that at this time of the year.
I've heard about that one happening before.
Yeah, it was a path of destruction. And I will never forget it. I was in the Qantas Club and the phone rang and it was somebody who had been given this, this fellow had given him my name as a referee. And I just had to very diplomatically say he was good at his job, but he had to leave in extenuating circumstances, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
Right.
And that was the end of it. And I was really surprised because I thought, given this guy had left in very awkward circumstances, I couldn't believe he'd given my name as a referee. And I actually rang him up and I said, look, I wouldn't be giving my name out as a referee because I will be very honest and I will say, you know, what happened. So maybe you want to choose another referee.
Was that just a case of he had your name on a piece of paper from months hence and then didn't think to change it?
Potentially. And that's what I would suggest in terms of protecting your referees. These people do spend time doing it. So I always put at the bottom of my CV, references available upon request, because I don't want people calling them if I'm not a serious contender for that job, because it's normally the last thing that they're going to do before you get a job offer. So it's a really good indicator that they're going to offer you a job. So protect your referees. You don't want them being called by anyone and you want to know when they're going to be called. So that's what I'd be doing there.
Natasha Hawker from the firm Employee Matters. That's right. I got it right. Thanks so much for talking to us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My name is Mark Fennell and this is ABC Radio.